Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Here we go. It's hour number four of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Time now for Eric Chiafalo's edition of Football's Finest. And here he is, the Chief.
There's no question the funniest play of the football weekend was early in the game in New York between the Jets and the Dolphins, doing the reverse pass stuff with Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, and then it ends up back in Devontae Adams' hands 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and he gets absolutely smacked. I mean, that was just beautiful. And then even better, the Jets go on to win the game inexplicably there. So shout out to those guys. That was hilarious. And is there any question in y'all's mind what the best vacancy is right now from a head coaching standpoint of all the open? And the Raiders' job just became open a few hours ago. They fire Antonio Pierce. But is there any doubt in your mind what is? Because I think there's a blinking red light here with, like, if I was Ben Johnson or Mike Vrabel with all the options in the world, there's no question which job I would want. You have the Patriots, Bears, Jags, Jets, Raiders, and Saints right now.
You think it's New England with the high picks and the cap space?
I think it's 100% the New England Patriots, man. Yeah. I mean, Drake May had a pretty awesome year for a rookie quarterback with working with nothing. And they have, you mentioned the cap space. I mean, it is a ridiculous number of dollars that they have to throw around when free agency rolls around. And they don't have the number one overall pick. That would have certainly made things even more enticing because then you just have all the draft power in the world already having your quarterback. You can trade down, do all those different things. But you're still picking super high. You have all the cap space in the world. And you have Drake May going into his second year. And the arrow is definitely pointing up there. I think it's a no-brainer. If you're Vrabel, if you're Ben Johnson, that's the spot you want to go.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Things are lined up where if you don't mess up, then, you know, you should have the ability to make a significant jump in year one. You win the fan base over, everybody's happy with you. And you have an organization that has a very strong track record of organizational greatness.
Yeah. And how about their backup, old Joe Milton, stepping in?
Joe Milton, they're going to get some trade requests for him.
Slinging that ball around.
He's got a cannon. We knew he had a cannon, but he actually played pretty damn well and was running around nicely. I don't really love any of these openings, to be honest. I mean, yeah, if you're sold on Drake May, then I guess the Patriots would be the most interesting. I wonder about Jacksonville. That's still one because of the division. And Trevor Lawrence, it's just stunning to me. Like, how can that guy have just fallen off for 2 years and been so damn bad? Like, can I get a guy that can resurrect? Like, Ben Johnson, could he resurrect Trevor Lawrence? Because you know he's got the talent. But otherwise, it's like, man, these are bad organizations. The Raiders, dysfunction. Jets, dysfunction. Bears, dysfunction. The Saints, what the hell is going on there right now? Like, since losing Sean Payton and before Sean Payton, that's never been an organization that you really want to be a part of. So none of these jobs are really like, oh, my gosh, yes, please. So you're right. It's probably Patriots, and then next up might be Jacksonville for me.
Yeah, part of it's by default for all the reasons you mentioned there. Bears, Jags, Jets, Raiders, Saints, those are all just disasters right now. But you mentioned Joe Milton having a cannon. He registered the second hardest throw in next-gen history on Sunday. He threw the ball almost 62 miles per hour. Wow. Now, the hardest throw in next-gen history actually also comes from this year. Would you guys like to guess the quarterback with the hardest throw? It happened on it was a touchdown pass to a tight end at some point this season. Which quarterback do you think has the biggest cannon right now?
Josh Allen.
That's a good guess. That's a really good guess. And he's on the list for a throw that he had in 2018 that was just over 61 miles per hour.
Joe Burrow?
Joe Burrow not on the list.
Mahomes?
Mahomes did have a throw that cracked the top five this year of all-time next-gen hardest throws, just a touch over 61 miles per hour as well.
But Jordan Love?
Almost touching 62. Ding, ding, ding. Jordan Love of the Green Bay Packers. He had a freaking laser beam touchdown pass. I can't remember who they were playing, but I think it was to Tucker Kraft, the tight end.
Oh, yes.
And it was just as
through
on
a keyhole.
It was nasty.
Yeah.
So the hardest throw in NFL history is Jordan Love right now, second to Joe Milton also from this year. And then you have Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen rounding it out 5 and 6 there all time. So those dudes, shout out to those guys. Now, we do have, of course, the Week 18. Now, we were a little bummed last week. You guys were out on vacation, but there was no Week 17 NYSE Players of the Week. So we got it straight from the source, brought us hit up Gruden, and was like, yo, what's the deal here? And
awesome.
He was tied up, man, paperwork and all that other sort of stuff.
He was on the other side of the country.
Yeah, other side of the country.
He was hanging out with that Raiders super fan.
He was handling some biz, but he's back.
Looking all sweaty.
Yeah. With the all shirt flushed. Inside out.
Yeah. always sweaty, always flush. Always. You got him. He guys got Hooters him.
He was scrambling,
wings.
Trying to find his pants, and he couldn't find them. There was no
NYSE. Badly untucked, yeah.
No Week
Just
17.
Just put that jersey on over there for me.
But he's back and better than ever. Week 18, the final regular season NYSE Players of the Week. John Gruden, take it away.
I love great players.
I
love great players at any position. I love great players that save their best for last. Guys like Bryce Young, quarterback of the Carolina Panthers. You know, a lot of people like the Atlanta Falcons are into dreams. But Bryce Young is into nightmares. 5 touchdowns. He lit them up in an overtime win. Guys like Justin Herbert of the LA Chargers. He's finally healthy. He goes to Las Vegas. And he throws for 321 yards. He combines for 3 touchdowns. Hey, Houston, we have a problem. Trey Hendrickson of the Cincinnati Bengals. 3.5 sacks against the Pittsburgh Steelers. He wins this NFL sack championship. High effort, high emotion, high production. Boom! Jahmyr Gibbs of the Detroit Lions. He gets smashed early in the game, but he comes back and he smashes the Minnesota Vikings for 190 yards and 4 touchdowns. Boom! Guys like Mike Evans of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Mike's got
I mean, 11 straight seasons with 1,000 yards.
Got me
That's tied with Jerry Rice. His teammates love him. His coaches love him. And I love him. Boom. Guys like Ja'Marr Chase of the Cincinnati Bengals. He wins the Triple Crown. Most yards. Most catches. Most touchdowns. Some of the catches he made. He's gonna get paid, baby.
Boom. There it is for the final time in 2024 regular season history. We put it in the books. I'm assuming he will be just in his bag for the playoffs.
Yeah,
wild card NYSE players of the weekend is going to be just absolutely electric. So shout out to John Gruden for that, and we always appreciate it. Now, we do have some concession items that are going to be making an appearance this wild card weekend and throughout the postseason. And I know Walchuk has one as well. Walchuk, why don't you bring that one to the table here in just a moment? But we start in Kansas City. How do you guys feel about this one? The touchdown toast. It's going to cost you $25. It's a loaf of bread. This is a full loaf. This thing's massive. Soaked in eggs, custard, milk, and heavy cream, served with vanilla ice cream on top, berry sauce, strawberries, and powdered sugar. This thing looks pretty next level.
And this is just a regular loaf of bread with nothing done to it. I mean, because it sounds like being an epic
baked?
French toast.
Is it,
yeah,
baked?
Is it cooked in some way?
It's half baked.
Yeah, it looks like, Broadus, if I'll DM it to you and you can look to see like what you think they've done to it. It definitely looks like they've done some type of baking or something to this thing.
It's a little burnt, if you ask me.
There you go.
Yeah, they might have a little crust on there, a little crunch to it, but that's like a dessert item.
For $25?
It's passing the eye test, dude. It really
looks
is.
Looks delicious. I absolutely would eat it.
And the staying power with the ice cream, right? Because you're in Arrowhead. It's going to be super, super cold. Now, I'm assuming the bread is going to be warm.
Yeah.
So that's what you want, the hot-cold mix there. Yeah. But I don't know. That
it's
thing,
got me feeling nice.
Yeah, that thing looks pretty dang awesome.
I think it's got me feeling icy.
It's cooked.
It looks baked.
It's baked. Yeah.
Damn right, so the French toast effect to it with the eggs and everything.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, look, that's like that. A brick.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, it's a heavy loaf.
Yeah, I'm definitely into that.
Take a loaf off. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
And then you head to the link where Jalen Hurts might not be playing. Filthy. But they have, and we confirm this after the Cowboys played in Philadelphia, Bob Thomas, the legendary stats man for the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network, brought us a couple of the famous soft pretzels.
I heard about these pretzels.
From the link.
They made the round on social media. Now, I do think it probably did spend some time in Bobby's pocket, so you probably should have just known that there was a little bit of tampering going on with this pretzel, but it sounded delicious.
Despite all the contaminations, it was out of this world, perhaps the best pretzel I've ever had. Lucius had a little bit of it, and I think can confirm.
Yeah, I picked the lint off and went right to it, bro. Yeah. Just break that piece off.
It was dominant, and so now at the link for the playoff game for $20, they're going to have the Pretzel John, J-A-W-N.
Oh, yeah, it's Philly talk.
Oh, yeah, okay. John.
All right.
Yeah. Everything's a John.
Yeah. That's like in Dallas. Well, not Dallas. In Texas, we say that hoe.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's a John, yeah.
Okay. That's a John.
That hoe
John.
Could be anything. It could be a pencil, the door, a person. All right,
that's fantastic. Now, this is passing the eye test because they have, from a presentation standpoint, this pretzel is in the shape of the eagle head.
Okay.
So this is an eagle-shaped pretzel.
Perfect to wipe your bum with.
Jumbo Eagles pretzel served with porter cheese sauce, green mustard sauce, and bourbon vanilla brown sugar butter. So you can have your pick of the litter on what you want to dip it in. Do you want to make it more dessert style? Do you want a little kick to it with the mustard or the cheese? But this thing, we know how good that pretzel is, and now you've just turned it into the logo. It looks pretty awesome. We know it tastes awesome. For $20, it's a no-brainer. And now what are the Texans doing?
Okay, so Texans fans can try the towering Bigger in Texas tamale at NRG Park on Saturday, featuring corn masa dough filled with slow-cooked beef and chili sauce, wrapped in a corn husk and served with salsa. So it's a big old tamale.
It's a huge tamale is what
big
it is.
Big tamale. Yeah. They're giving you some salsas to dip with.
Every time the Texans have played in a wild card game.
On Saturday, they've lost.
It's been the afternoon Saturday game.
It has always been the Saturday 3:30 kick.
Yeah.
Literally 2011, 12, 15, 16, 18, 19, 23, and now 24.
No
Texans Saturday.
They're not pulling ratings, man.
No, they are not. And they're not very fun to watch right now. They're on bust alert, if you will, for round number one here. Here's a clip of Eagles rookie corner Cooper DeJean, who's had a really nice year.
Really nice. They got better on defense when they took Maddox off the field and put him in the slot. It got better.
It's been awesome. And I was surprised when he was asked about his welcome to the NFL moment for this rookie year. And the name will probably surprise you as well.
And would you say at any point in the regular season, did you have what felt like a welcome to the NFL moment?
Yeah, when I faced Adam Thielen a couple weeks ago, he gave me some good work. Yeah.
How about that? His welcome to the NFL moment was the old man, Adam Thielen, who...
He'll route you up.
Yeah,
he will.
And he was definitely routing him up in that particular game. 9 catches for 102 yards.
Yes.
But if you told me before the season it was going to be Adam Thielen, of all the wide receivers that Cooper DeJean was going to have to square off against, I would have told you there's no chance. But late in that game, that was a game where Leggett drops the ball at the goal line. The Panthers really should have won that
game.
And it was Adam Thielen doing all of the late game heavy lifting trying to lead the Panthers to victory. So shout out to Adam Thielen, still getting it done at this age. Cooper DeJean showing him some love. And then I thought this was maybe the best sports caption, certainly of the weekend. And Detroit had a huge victory on Sunday Night Football over the Vikings. And Terrion Arnold, the rookie corner,
I was a big fan of his. He had a struggle. He had got up to and you. Down. He was up and down there this rookie year.
Yeah. We had a chance at him, huh?
Oh, well, yeah. Had a chance on him and Mitchell. Yeah. Both corners were
Detroit traded up to get him. Right to your spot.
Yeah, that's who you swapped with.
Well, he had a great game versus the Vikings, and he Instagrammed some photos from the game, and his caption read, "Just like Chick-fil-A, pull up on Sunday, ain't S open."
That's beautiful.
Hashtag Chick-fil-A.
That's my guy. So, I knew why you were my cornerback one, Terrion.
That's really, really good stuff right there. Caption of the weekend. And I'm really disappointed to see that Pro Football Focus has your two lowest graded players. Your lowest graded offensive player for the Cowboys this year is your first round pick, Tyler Guyton. Yeah. And your lowest graded defensive player for the Cowboys this year is your previous first round pick, Mozzie Smith.
Ouch.
The drafting's going to have to get better. All your rookies, I mean, they didn't grade. I mean, Mozzie Smith, but Kalen Carson, terrible PFF grades. He struggled this year. Even Maris Leofau, who, I mean, made some plays for sure. Mm-hmm. They had him graded as a 50 player out of 100. And Marshawn Nealon, same thing. So Kalen Carson, Leofau, Neeland, and Pro Football Focus is certainly not the Bible when it comes to this stuff, but man, we're going to have to start drafting better, boys.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's got to be step one to getting this thing back in order, I think, is great drafts in 2025 and 2026. I mean, it's just not sustainable to try to build through the draft. If they don't get this draft right, you'll be looking at three in a row without an impact first-round pick, and that might be curtains for next year, okay, as far as playoff chances.
Had our guy Fred Davis there on the TV.
Yeah, Fred's up there.
Fred was on the TV interviewing Jerry.
He was in. He got in the
Fred
scrum.
Fred from the gang on Sunday afternoon.
He boxed Nick Harris out. Nick was right behind him. Yeah. Like, who's this big guy, Fred, with the shoulders?
Good job, Fred's Fred. Doing a nice job over there along with Blake. Okay, there's an edition of The Finest. We'll hit the expressway. Everything that's been breaking in and out of the world of sports is... we'll take a look at all the breaking news items of your day. And LA Live's coming up at 5:40, and we're back with you here. It's the G-Bag Nation on The Fan.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Shoot, yeah, welcome in. It's time to go commercial free to the top, the expressway. Every night at this time here on The Fan. LA Live's coming up at 5:40 here. You're about 16 minutes away from that. This segment of The Nation is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And the expressway itself is brought to you by the on-time experts. All right, let me start with, just what's going on in Southern California this afternoon. Our drive to Oxnard might look quite a bit different in July. As Pacific Palisades, which is where you drop into on the Pacific Coast Highway coming out of Santa Monica there, on fire. Mansions. I was watching like probably at least a $50 million mansion up in flames.
Damn.
The hillside in flames. A lot of actors posting videos of them evacuating. I guess the wind is a major factor. And they've said that the wind is pushing this so much faster than the fire department can contain. So everybody in that area has been ordered to evacuate. Reports of people abandoning their cars on Sunset Boulevard as they're forced to flee to safety. Kind of reminds me of the scene from Maui in Hawaii a couple of years ago, if you remember that story through I forget the city's name there, Lahaina or something like that. But anyway, massive smoke, even more inland, forcing people to leave their cars and retreat. So hopefully everybody is safe and the first responders can get in and get that taken care of. Of course, here in DFW, we're dealing with weather of a different kind. And the Rangers and us here at the Fan are moving the start of the Rangers caravan from Thursday night when the snow is really expected to pile in to Monday. So we'll do safety first here, but it's, you know, it's still free Whataburger on Monday night. We'll have free Rangers player autographs with those names to be determined or to be announced at this point. But the Rangers are going to be here giving away tickets and gift bags and the new World Series DVD. The World Series trophy is going to be on hand. That is Monday night right here at 75 and Fitzhugh. The Hot Stove Show with Jared Sandler is going to get underway at 7 o'clock. But we're excited to see all the Tolos on Monday. And sorry about that. But I'm sure you can appreciate a little bit of a rescheduling. Nobody likes to be out and about when that stuff's getting really rough, which it will be Thursday night into Friday morning. Okay, speaking of the Rangers, though, guys, Derek Holland announcing his retirement from baseball about an hour and a half ago on X. 14-year career. Was absolutely scintillating for the Texas Rangers and Ron Washington in 2010 and 2011. Started to get hurt with shoulder trouble around 2016. I still remember being in spring training and seeing him in a cutoff shirt, and he had this cupping stuff on his shoulder. You know how they put those cups on there, and they try.
Luca has that all the time.
Luca. Yeah. You see athletes with it all the time. Now I think on Derek was the first time that I saw that 8 years or so ago, but. You know, from that point forward, he was kind of like on the injury yo-yo of trying to come back from something and establish. He had a pretty good stretch there with the Giants, I think, in 2018. But, you know, more than that, just one of the absolute most likable athletes that we've ever covered. I think he caught a lot of crap from fans because he liked to have fun and do impressions, sometimes even in the dugout during games, and people just didn't understand him. But the longer he went, the more people understood really what made him tick. And later in his career, he became, you know, a heck of a coach for younger guys, even as he was continuing to rehab and pursue his own, you know, comeback journey. But, you know, on top of that, just an absolute beast of a person and probably our best athlete friend in 105 through the Fan Station history as far as being a good player who actually enjoyed our content. Like, he would be texting us while he was in the weight room, you know, whether it was at the Globe or in Surprise or for a different, you know, team saying, hey, guys, I'm, you know, here working out, but I'm listening to the show while I'm getting ready for my start or whatever. So it was always, you know, cool to see Dutch, and now when he comes in and hangs out and does the show, he just feels like he's one of us, if you will, Wolchek.
One of us.
The Rangers' winter bullpen reconstruction has continued as late last night we get the announcement of the signing of a veteran right-hander, Chris Martin. Boy, they like their older relievers. And the Arlington native coming on back now at 38 years old. He spent two seasons with the Rangers in 2018 and 2019, so many of you probably don't remember him. As those were the dark times here for this baseball team. But Matt Festa was designated for assignment in a corresponding move. Martin spent the last two seasons with the Red Sox, 3.45 ERA in 44 and a third innings last year as an eighth inning setup man. His chase percentage and walk percentage both ranked in elite territory despite you know, a bit of a decline in some of his metrics there. Spent time on the injured list twice last year, but has remained largely durable late into his career with four seasons of 40-plus innings since 2021, and said said in September he expects 2025 is going to be his last season before retirement, so he's coming back for one last ride, wants to do it with the home team and his guy Chris Young.
I'm pumped. Now, I did see Jeff Wilson reported GM Ross Fenstermaker said the Rangers are comfortable with the group of relievers that they've signed. A closer is no longer a primary target, though the Rangers are open to adding a proven closer. I think you still do. I think you absolutely still need to add a closer. Like, I'm trying to bring back Herbie Yates to this thing, who also would fit this older veteran mold. He's about 37 years old, but I don't know. Like, who's your closer right now out of these guys? Maybe they feel good about somebody, but I sure don't yet. But see why we trust.
I kind of, when I saw the name Chris Martin, I thought the lead singer of Coldplay.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, we signed the lead singer of Coldplay here.
And it was all yellow.
Yeah. That's like, a good pull.
There we go. All right.
Yeah, I don't know lead singers that well or their names or anything like that. Yeah. But
he has the voice of an angel. He's a recording angel. Real talk.
I do feel like, you know, the baseball teams and maybe the Rangers specifically have done a nice job of, you know, adding a collection of relievers and then allowing the closer to either establish himself and have the cream rise to the top in the first half of the season, or maybe you have to make a trade. And, you know, going into a season with bullpen needs is something that's, I don't think that big of an issue. Because all the non-contending teams put their relievers on the trade market by the time we get into middle July or so. Okay, the Stars are in action coming up at the top of the hour. They are visiting the New York Rangers. Forward Mason Marchment in-season surgery to repair an injury he suffered taking a puck to the face last month. Mm. Coach DeBoer saying today, ahead of the game, that Marchment did not travel with the team for its five-game East Coast roadie. DeBoer said he still considers Marchment a week-to-week there. But I think the Dallas Stars are a team we should be rallying around right now because yeah. They're the only thing going great here in DFW sports, at least until the Rangers or maybe the FC Dallas season starts.
No doubt. And it'll be Otter in net again. Brendan Smith's going to return to the lineup. He was a healthy scratch the last seven games. Dumba is going to come out. And they're calling back up Artu Huru. He's going to be starting with Rupe Hintz, who got his first start last week. So, yeah, I'm with you, man. The Stars are probably our best chance right now, unless things start to become better and clearer for our Mavericks. Maybe they do get healthy just at the right time and make a postseason surge late.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Okay, I'll drink to that. What do you guys think of Texas and Ohio State now, three nights away? Steve Sarkisian asked if they're going to lean on their passing game instead of their running game against Ohio State after another disappointing outing on the ground. His answer, I hope not. Says we're at our best when he can run it, gives us balance. So I'm hard-pressed not to kind of just walk away from it and abandon it. But the question is, should they abandon the run altogether considering how good this Ohio State defense is? As good or better than any the Longhorns have played this season, writes the Morning News, including Georgia, who held them to 1.09 yards per carry in two games. Ohio State, the nation's number one defense, according to Pro Football Focus. Slightly better than Texas, who has the second best grade. But the Buckeyes' run defense is tied for first. They've allowed the second fewest yards per attempt at 2.7 for the season. And fifth fewest yards per game of any FBS program. Should they even try to run the ball, Brian?
Well, I tell you what is going to be difficult. Texas, though, has a veteran offensive line, and they've got a couple of, they've got a center that's made a bunch of starts in majors. Their offensive tackles are both being looked at as first and second round type of players. Yeah, Ohio State's got some really nice players. Sawyer on the edge. I think the guy that they're going to have to control, though, is Taliq Williams inside. That, you know, at 6'3", 327 pounds, you know, he's a massive tackle. He's not a sloppy guy at all. But, you know, the powerful upper body allows him to control blockers. If Texas is going to have any success running the football, they're going to have to make sure that they secure these down linemen and these edges who do a pretty good job of playing, playing their responsibilities. They don't get put out of position. They've got some guys. Sawyer's a little bit of a lighter guy when it comes to the edges, but he's got length and is able to kind of extend on you. But that running against Williams inside is going to be a big, big task for Texas.
All right, elsewhere here in the world of football, Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson talking about the Ravens' playoff woes up to this point in his career, despite his two MVPs, not a lot of playoff success. He says he got too excited, too antsy. I'm seeing things before it happened, like, oh, I got to calm myself down. But just being more experienced, I have found a way to balance it out. Are you buying that? That this version of Lamar Jackson is going to, you know, benefit from the experience and, you know, have the finally game slow healthy, down huh? for him at this point.
Finally healthy. I mean, their wide receiver room isn't really healthy, but, you know, that's something that Lamar Jackson, the last couple of playoffs, has dealt with injury, right? It's been the biggest issues for him.
Yes. I mean, what a season he has put together. If it doesn't happen for him this year, I don't know if it ever will.
Yeah, I mean, he's having the best season he's had, and that's saying something because he's a two-time MVP. I think, yeah, I'm buying that. I mean, I think absolutely, like experience, you're going to learn and grow from that. The problem is I don't think their game plan in the AFC Championship game, we talked about that when it happened, they didn't run the ball at all. It's like, okay, now you're putting all the pressure on Lamar and his arm to win you a football game. Why? Why are you doing that when you got here because you ran the football effectively? I don't think they're going to make that same mistake again, having Derrick Henry and him, who just had the most prolific quarterback running back tandem in history, in the history of the NFL when it came to rushing. So they got a shot, but I still don't know, even though they just destroyed Buffalo earlier this season, I think I would still lean Kansas City and Buffalo ahead of Baltimore for me.
How about you, Chief? You think this is the year Lamar Jackson breaks through?
I'm with you. That's like, man, if it's not going to be this year, when will it ever be? And when one of the things other outside of health for Lamar Jackson in the postseason, because that's been a huge thing, and obviously it seems like he is healthy going in, so that's going to be big. And the other thing was the teams were always able to, when you want to stop Lamar Jackson over the years, if you blitz him, he became a completely different quarterback for the worse. And now this year, he has solved that problem. He is the best quarterback in the sport versus the blitz. Mm. So if he's going to be healthy, which he hasn't been in a lot of these postseason runs, and he's now really taken away the one element of his game that was like a blinking red light. Hey, he can be had here. You get into the postseason, really good defenses, really good defensive coordinators. Oh, all I got to do is blitz him, and he's not the same version of himself. Well, now he's overcome that. And then you add the Derrick Henry factor, and hopefully for their sake, Zay Flowers is going to be okay.
Yeah, but that's big.
Yeah, I think, and their defense is starting to come around. I mean, that pass defense was a huge issue for a good chunk of the season, and I think they were misusing Kyle Hamilton, which is like a Swiss Army knife kind of player. They got him back playing more just a safety role, and their pass defense has really blossomed as of late. So I think they have the makings to do it, but still, going into Kansas City and winning a football game, even if Lamar plays awesome, it doesn't mean they're going to win it.
But that's the kind of data, that's the kind of stat that I think gives his quote credibility. Like, things are slowing down. I figured it out. Now I just know I need to relax and go where the defense and the game is asking me to go. Yeah. So that's exciting. But 41 touchdowns and four picks, that's got to be my guy to win a third MVP, I think.
If the Ravens lose this game, it'll be because of their defense.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be because of their offense. This team has struggled, though, all year long when they've dealt with teams that throw the ball in the middle of the field. You know, and I know it's about Hamilton, and you talk about the moving around and stuff like that, but they're damn near the bottom of the league when it comes to dealing with intermediate passing games and stuff like that. So let's see what happens. You know, what's going to happen with Russell Wilson? How are they going to work the middle of the field with their receivers? You know, they've struggled. They've struggled when they blitz. That's why the Ravens don't blitz very much.
Yeah.
Because they do struggle when they blitz. They're damn near the bottom when it comes to that, too. Metrics is showing that their defense could be the problem in this game, not their offense.
You know, I do feel like great organizations, great quarterbacks figure out a way to overcome their team's shortcomings. You know, but and with Lamar Jackson, it's usually been more about his surroundings, you know, than what he is. But that is a championship-level organization. So maybe it is their year, but that AFC is tough.
It is. And I think the one thing for him, too, the interceptions have been down this year, which is great. But the one thing about him is still, and one of the reasons why I would lean Josh Allen, the fumble factor. I mean, this dude has fumbled 8 times this year.
Holy cow.
And so he's mitigated the interceptions for sure. But those fumbles, you get an untimely fumble in a playoff game, that could be all she wrote.
Chief, yesterday we talked about Ashton Jeanty and the guys were actually convincing me that maybe at 12 I wouldn't hate it. Of course, the news today, Jeanty has declared for the draft, so that's happening. But you're at a spot at 12, while there are 14 or 15 first-round grades on guys, you're getting to a point where it's players who are inconsistent. You're betting on elite traits, but not necessarily elite college player or injured guy. There's a corner there that I think the Cowboys should be very interested in.
Barron from Texas.
That's the guy, without doing any film study, just watching him play and hearing all the different comps for him. That's a guy that immediately is a blinking red light for. I'd be all about him. That's a premium position, and I'd be thrilled with somebody like that.
Yeah, but what if he's off the board? What if a couple of the wide receivers, he won't be off the board?
No. In fact, 12's high from now. Maybe like once you
have a first round grade on him.
Oh, absolutely. But like a lot of people don't right now. Like some people are having him go late first round, early second round, and I think that'll even itself out. But at 12. I don't know. I mean, he'll be there, and I don't mind taking him there.
What they'll have to figure out, though, and this is why I think Barron will go higher than, and I think
because the injuries.
Well, I think the injuries. You look at Revelle, the East Carolina. He could be the best corner in the draft. He's coming off a knee injury. Nobody really knows how fast Will Johnson runs at Michigan. Yeah. You know, he's a long 6'2" corner. Dude. Yeah, big dude. You know. Hunter's, depending on where people are going to play Hunter's probably the best corner on the board. He'll be gone.
Yeah.
But so these corners, there's going to be some question marks about those guys. I mean, Barron to me, it might come down to a corner, the runner, and a wide receiver.
Cannot wait to cover this draft.
Might be the three.
Barron might make himself a lot of money Friday night.
Yeah.
He shuts down Jeremiah Smith. Boom.
A lot can happen around the combine with medicals and testing, and between then and the draft, you will start to get a much better idea of the intel that the teams have that maybe the media scouts don't. It's time to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius Alexander has LA Live.
On New Year's Day. Hey, St. John's is playing Xavier right now, and you can see Coach Rick Pitino. The game just started, bro. He's already throwing his hands up.
Get this man a dress.
Get the jacket around. Off yet?
Oh, come on! Well, game just started, dog.
The kid's not listening to us.
He's already frustrated. Game just started, Rick.
Nursing that hangover.
Hair looks good, though. I'm sure the hair looks good.
Oh, it's my dude.
I love it as a coach. You can be the most cordial. You're shaking people's hands. You're talking to them. Boom, that ball goes up. The whistle blows. And the next thing you know, your personality 180 degrees away.
Oh, he's losing it, man. Like 2 minutes into the game, he's already ready to throw a chair.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into a Toxic Tuesday edition of LA Live right into the great Rick James.
Fire up this funk and let's have a show. It'll make you dance with some of everything. Everybody get high.
Worth $2,000, things is the category this time.
R-S-T-L-N-E.
Kareem. Oh.
Miners and hoes.
No. Stacy.
Fingers and toes.
That's it.
Jeez. Jeez.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's from Utah.
Now, I want you to understand, we're laughing with you. But I like your style. It's worth a shot. What the heck?
I can guarantee you it was not miners and hoes, my guy. And I'm so embarrassed because he had his sailor uniform on.
Oh, no.
Yeah, representing the U.S. Navy up there talking about miners and hoes. And he jumped back from the thing.
Like, nailed it.
Got him.
Put his hands up like Steph Curry.
Yeah, miners and hoes. I can guarantee you, dog. Wow, what are we doing? This is LA Live for Tuesday, January 7th, 2024. It is a Toxic Tuesday here in LA Live, and I promise you, folks, it will be toxic. It will be toxic. Hey, I got a question for you fellas right here.
Mm-hmm.
If your significant other said, there's this old man at my job. He's in his late 60s. And he's trying to give me 1.5 milli.
Oh, for that?
He's trying to give me 1.5 milli. What kind of advice are you giving your significant other? That's 1.5 milli, bro.
Well, you know, I would ask her what her decision was. I cannot help you on this, but if you go yes, I would like half, you know?
Damn, you want half?
Yeah.
You're brokering the deal in a sense.
Well, I'm just
you
saying.
You should be happy that she's coming to talk to you about it, first of all.
Yeah.
Because usually they'll go take that money and dip off.
Yeah.
And come back and just act different like they won the lottery.
No, you're right, man. This is a sticky situation.
Yeah.
But I would imagine it's the end of the relationship. We're just deciding to do what to do with the severance.
No, it's every day. It's an everyday good relationship. This is a great relationship. There's this old man up there in the brass of the building, and he wants, 1.5 million. I take it to the Anatole.
They made a movie about this, didn't they?
They sure did. They sure did. Tore the people apart.
Yeah,
he couldn't let it go. It was wearing him out. He couldn't let it go. So, did you like it? You know, it was wearing him out.
Like, how was it?
Yeah.
How would you grade
it? He couldn't let it rest.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, that $1.5 million isn't enough money, you know?
Is
I'm not like getting to leave my job forever, you know,
no.
for 1.5 million.
House paid off.
That's what I'm saying.
Investment in a business if you want to start one or something like that, maybe.
Yeah, but we're still busy. We're grinding. It's not changing my life for the better.
Yeah. You
know? Now, if we could multiply that by a factor of 10, you know, $15 million.
What do you think you're working with?
No. Well, hey, it's an older dude there.
You say, you if know? You can get 2.5 out of it.
Yeah, no.
Ask him for 2.5 and come back to me tomorrow during dinner. We'll see what we got going on.
We need 15, you know, because we're not living in traditional times where people are saving themselves for marriage. So after a while, it would just be another one of the people on her dance card. You know what I'm saying? But I would need a lot more money than 1.5 to bridge that gap, because I'm looking like 5-10 years down the road before, you know, it all just sort of normalizes.
I saw an interview the other day, Lucius, where a girl on the OnlyFans did a she made $4.6 million off this one gentleman.
Come on, bro.
And never met him.
Yeah.
Has never met the guy.
Yeah.
Doesn't even know who he is, doesn't know, but he's spent $4.6 million on her. And she's never met him.
Yeah, can we get that kind of a deal?
Yeah, God bless.
Yeah.
Lord, I've seen what you've done for others. Hey, is that Millie tax-free, that 1.5? Is that tax-free? How was you going to pay that? I'm talking about Skip Bayless here. The allegations of Skip was willing to
cash
trick if you ain't got it. You know?
Cash.
Because you're going to have to double it.
Cash. Give me the cash.
But then the cash, you're only going to be able to spend that a little bit at a time.
Oh, no.
Right? You're not going to be able to do something meaningful with it because you got to hide it from the IRS.
Yeah. Just spend a little bit at a time.
Yeah, I wonder how that works. So you cannot give somebody $1.5 million, really, without the government wanting their piece.
Maybe 10 grand at most, you know, if it's a family member, one-time gift.
I think it's like $9,999, something like that. I think you have to go below a certain threshold.
Oh. Yeah, well, you got to be lucky. If she does tell you that somebody's hitting on her that way,
she put that in your account.
She trusts you.
Yeah, you put
or
that.
Or she's already done it, one of them.
Yeah.
You ever got any guilt gifts? You ever got any guilt gifts from your girl?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Like I've a meal?
You've seen a few?
Yeah, I've seen a few. My girl used to work in the booby clubs, you know?
Oh, that's right.
And all of a sudden you get bags and stuff be at the door. I'm like, I don't even want to know.
So, I mean, $1.5 million.
I don't know what you did.
$1.5 million.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Yes, that's
incredible. Sicko.
Yeah, I mean, it just.
I like this kind of cheese.
Yeah. And this is the wrong size anyway. I said 11.5.
I mean, yeah, $1.5 million would obviously change things for you. It would make life a little bit easier, but yeah. I'm not getting to retire. I can't go buy a plot of land in Montana and just relax.
It's the easiest 1.5 you ever made, though.
Yeah.
I mean, for her, it's
now you got to live with being a cuck for the rest of your life. You just prostituted out your wife.
Yeah, you got to think about
there's zero chance that there's any dollar figure that can.
That's not the definition of a cuck. That's more of like a pimp. Are you pimping your wife?
Cuck is in the room. You got the chair in the room.
It's not some random girl.
Yeah, but as a cuck, wife. As a cuck, I'm kind of enjoying it, enjoying the humiliation of it.
What are we doing?
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Maybe on a technicality, not a cuck, but
you're still watching.
Still cuck adjacent.
Sure.
Cuck adjacent.
Yeah.
And I to the cuck family.
My number for that's $15 million.
Not a cuck, I'm just cuck-ish.
Yeah.
I'm cuck light.
Who are you calling a cuck?
Yeah, that's wild. That's a wild conversation. It is a Toxic Tuesday here in LA Live. Hey, what if there was some old lady in the brass section of our Odyssey company? And she was looking at you boys. And she got 1.5 for you. You going to holler at the wife like, hey, listen, working late tonight.
She'd say go for it, honey.
But I want you to look on that Zillow.
Yeah, just make sure I see the profits.
Look on that Zillow.
Working I'm pretty sure mine would be okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Million? Let me see her first.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure mine would push me out the door. You better go make that money.
Yeah. Well, we can get a house on the beach.
Get you some blue chews or something. Can't nobody have you talking about me like that. All right, well, I just wanted to ask those questions. I have no idea I was going to take that little route right there. G-Bag of the Day, we do it
How
every...
How are you answering that question?
How am I answering that question?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you what. Hey, you decide what you want to do.
I'll plead the fifth.
Yeah, there you go.
I knew that was going to be some kind of answer.
G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media. Lucius Alexander on Facebook. And you can follow us on if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Our winner is still the church choir, I believe, right? Yeah. Church choir. Singing a little Silent Night over the holidays, and this went viral.
sounds like a goat singing. You ever heard those?
Yeah.
Maybe a golden retriever.
Yeah. Boy said, wrong young virgins.
More than one.
Oh, my gosh. Looks like the Trump administration said we're leaving here with something.
Yeah.
We are leaving here with something. I thought it was a joke at first when I seen like they were coming for the Panama Canal and Greenland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, it's for real.
Yeah, we built that Panama Canal.
I've been to it. It's amazing. Yeah. Our ship had to go through it. Both sides, of course, is two different countries.
Yeah.
And they're both pointing their guns at you at the same time.
Oh, that's unsettling.
And we're pointing our guns back and we're just going through. Everybody's trying to be peaceful, you know? Be cool, dog. Be cool. Everybody be cool. Yeah, Panama Canal, Greenland. Trump even says he's looking at Canada to be the 51st state. We leaving here with something.
I mean, that's at least 5 or 6 states worth, you know?
Come on.
Take all that oil up there.
Make a new flag.
This is going to be an interesting 4 years of entertainment because this man does not stop giving you hits.
The Greenland's the cold place, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Iceland, they tricked
Iceland
us, right?
Iceland is a nice one.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
Be a nice place for military installations.
The Vikings tricked us on that one. Hey, hang out at Greenland. Yeah. It's a good place. It's really not. It's colder than that.
Yeah. Misdirection. Yeah, they also said they're going to change the Gulf of Mexico into the Gulf of America. Listen to this guy.
We're going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America.
Yeah.
Which has a beautiful ring that covers a lot of territory. The Gulf of America, what a beautiful name. Yeah. And it's appropriate.
Yeah.
It's appropriate.
Boy, right there.
It's incredible.
I like how he says Puerto Rico, too. Listen.
Puerto Rico. Yeah. Rico. We love Puerto Rico.
Let's do this. Wow.
No, he's doing bits.
Is it going to be a big wall on the other side of that Gulf of America? Or?
Wild. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't think. I mean, yeah, you can change the name of it, right?
Sure.
Because it has a name. Yeah. Therefore, it can be changed.
Sure.
Yeah. It'd be wild to see it in our lifetime. We're going to change the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. I don't know how Mexico is going to feel about that.
Well, I mean, we kind of ran with it two centuries ago when Spain called it the Gulf of Mexico, and we were all just like, sure, let's call it the Gulf of Mexico.
That's it.
Right? Yeah. So, you know, if another world power decides, hey, we want to change the name, and you get enough people agree to it.
Yeah.
And strong-arming Mexico into a lot of stuff over the years.
You enjoy Galveston, guys? Everybody been out to Galveston one time, at least?
One time.
Been twice. The first time was gross. There was, like, diapers on the beach. Second time they cleaned it up, it was a little bit better.
Okay. Yeah. I've been out there once. It was at nighttime. It was something called the Kappa Beach.
Okay.
So I couldn't see the water, but it was a great time.
It's pretty. You know, it can be pretty.
I went fishing out there one time before, too.
Is the fishing good?
Yeah. I caught a flounder. A whole lot of, like, whitings, I think. I don't know. I only bring that up because your boy Charles Barkley was on Late Night with Jason Kelsey, and he was talking about, you know, Galveston.
Mm-hmm.
And since Mr. Trump wants to rename it, Charles might be for it.
Galveston on a vacation.
That dirty ass water.
You know, I didn't want to get traded out of Phoenix, and people were calling me, asking me different things. I said, yo, man, I want to finish my career in Phoenix. And then when the Rockets called me and said, we traded for you, and I called a couple players, they're like, well, training camp's at the beach. And I'm like, well, it can't be that bad. And we go down to Galveston, and I'm looking at the water. I'm like, what the f***? Like, what good is a beach when you can't go on the beach?
And they're like, gosh.
I mean, it was crazy, man. I was like,
crazy,
there's
man.
No sense in having a beach if you can't go in the water. But everybody was really nice there. But man, that dirty water coming up on the beach, I'm like, holy s***.
I think a lot of people had that same feeling most of the time. You know, it's a great place to go party. I just wouldn't go towards the water most years.
Yeah, I feel you. I do want to go back.
South Padre
out.
For a lot of years, right? Down there?
I've been to South Padre a few times. Yeah, yeah. But I do want to go back to see if Galveston is as bad as they say it is. I just can't remember. I feel like it should be cheap if it's that bad.
I think it's improved.
I should get an Airbnb for like low to low.
there's just only so many places, you know, if you're Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, that you could go for a staycation, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, you got the cabins in Oklahoma.
Yeah, yeah. I was up there. Yep.
You know, after that, you know, Galveston.
South Padre, yeah.
Go check out Austin, I guess, if you're into that.
But, yeah.
You know, it's even if you, you know, can't go in the water, being on like the edge of the continent and looking out into the ocean, there's just something cool about it.
It's very calming. You're right, sir. Yeah. You're very right. It's like a good reset for the mind.
You get a nice hotel room or like a beach house with some big windows and a back porch. You sit there. You're good, man.
Speaking of water, before we get out of here, are you guys familiar with the American businessman Dan Pena?
No, sir. Never heard of him.
All right. He started off as a financial analyst in Wall Street, went on to become the president of a Houston oil-based company. Oil-based. How about a... Yeah, just... Oh, anyway. He lives in a castle. He's super rich, worth about $500 million. Internet lies say he's got billions. Anyway, he says, here's our new investment idea that we need to be paying attention to, speaking of water.
Water is the next crypto. Water is the next whatever, gold. Water. You've seen the movies with Mel Gibson, Mad Max. That's where we're headed. That's it. Money doesn't mean anything. Water. And I've got some really smart guys that I've known for 35, 40 years that have been buying up water rights around the world for 30 plus years. And now, and they're not for sale. Actually, you can produce oxygen. It's tougher to make water. You can make oxygen. The water rights, I mean, really smart guys have been buying, the families like the Rockefellers have been buying up water rights for 100 plus years. There's a reason why Ted Turner, I believe, is either the largest or the second largest landowner in the United States. He's not buying it for the land. He's buying it for the water rights.
Now, I got water stocks. I bought them a long time ago. They don't really move up and down much. You know what I mean? They kind of stay where they're at. But if water is the next thing,
yeah,
like, we're going to turn into the Book of Eli out here.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to get dangerous, dog.
Yeah. And I respect the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds a lot and their, you know, extensive network of power. But if water becomes that scarce, I don't think having the rights to the water is going to, like, hold off a horde of a million people that need fresh water.
Okay, I like that.
You know what I'm saying?
They're going to overrun you.
Like, sorry, you have to be parched to death.
Yeah.
No, we're coming for the water, guys.
Now you got to buy an army to protect your water rights. Yeah, yes. I feel what you're saying.
Yeah, they've done that.
You talked me off that ledge real fast. Thank you.
Yeah. Nothing to worry about, Lucius. Don't worry about it. They can't hide the water from us.
All right. I'll be black tomorrow. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. My name is Lucius Alexander, and that's my time. Holla.
Thank you. L.A. Live every night about 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. We got some hoop talk coming up at 6:20. Mavs trying to snap this losing streak. They're hosting the Lakers tonight. Rim session in about 20 minutes. Guys, what do we have next?
Well, it's time for a little TD Tuesday, shall we? All the best calls from your college football playoff and the National Football League next in the nation.